A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Flats and Shanks podcast. I'm Flats, he's Shanks. Don't ask me if I've been busy or not, fella, because I have been flat out and we've only got 45 minutes to an hour.
Flatman out. What episode is it? Remember what it was last week? Remember we had a little laugh? Your favourite number?
Is it number 70 this week?
Yes, it's number 70. We've done a few this year.
We have, yeah. Yeah, and what have we got to show for it except some blimmin' good memories?
A grade two listed building.
And a load of money. Loads and loads of money. Yeah. Do people make loads of money out of podcasts? I think Joe Rogan must do.
Yeah. Is it something to do with Patreon? They charge Patreon. People?
Patreon. Should we be doing that?
Nah. Sometimes you get too big for your boots.
Yeah.
You know, we've always had a good grounding. We're humble. Let them have it for free, what I say. But if you want to donate, then just direct message me and I'll give you my bank details, all right?
Yeah, 100%.
But also, and we say this at the end, we've said it a couple of times, but just send us a review, will you? Because when the time comes that we do want to turn this all corporate and we want to go to the next level, which effectively is space, then we want the 5 stars.
Yeah, we're going to need that.
Don't slag us off either.
No, don't do that.
Save that for traffic wardens.
Well, no, it's like Airbnb. Like, they leave a public review. Oh, the house, what you can do is public review, be really nice, and then say, look, actually, there's a couple of bits that weren't great on a private review. So if you want to slag us off, DM us on Twitter, and we'll send you back the F off emoji with a yellow hand with the middle finger sticking up. But just don't tell anyone else.
I'd rather be like, you know, when you're having food and you're not happy with the meal, but then waitress comes and says, or the waiter, and says, everything all right? You say, yeah, it's fine, thanks. It's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of them, all right? Even if you don't like it, say you like it.
Read an interesting article this morning. I've forgotten the name of the lady that wrote it.
I read a bit. But
Marina Hyde retweeted it.
Often deodorant cans on the toilet.
It's about
shampoo bottles.
What is cleanser? I've never known what cleanser and toner are. It's about women's rage and women apologising too much, and it is, this is not virtue signalling.
Let me find one of them, please.
But it is,
they're unicorns, mate.
It is really, really good. Like the writing, you're like, she's written a book. Don't care what book it is. I'm getting it. I mean, I won't read it. I just buy books and I stack them up next to my bed so I can look wordy. Mm. Look, I want to talk to you before I ask what you've been up to. I want to talk to you about watches.
Stop a minute.
What?
I know you like to read, and you're talking about stacking your books up. I reckon in 10 years' time, you're going to be like Nasser Hussein when he's doing Zoom calls. He's got a library behind him, all different books.
Has he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably just wallpaper.
Like, yeah, exactly. If he leans back, he disappears into the image.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not quite. I mean, you mustn't read him. I'm reading a book at the moment by Tim Weaver called Missing Pieces, and it's came very highly reviewed. But there's, you know when I pick apart TV shows and it annoys you.
Yeah.
This has got a bit of it, like it's a thriller, and it's like it's got loads of chapter endings like this, and then they opened the box and they couldn't believe what they saw.
What's it called?
Next Missing Pieces.
Oh, sounds like my life.
The story of Tom Shanklin, unfulfilled man from Wales / Surrey.
Talking about
watches.
Sorry, I was going to go off on a bit of a tangent because you talked about reviews.
You can in a minute.
Okay, go. Hit me.
I'm a watch fan. I love watches.
Yeah, I know.
I haven't worn...
Status.
I haven't consistently worn... No, do you know what? I wonder, you know, if it is. I haven't worn one of my posh watches consistently for more than a couple of days in 18 months. I only wear my smartwatch.
Got a shoulder issue, have you?
Yeah, exactly.
It's too heavy.
I hardly wear it. Sometimes I think, oh, I've had that. I got it. I should wear it. And I put it on and I take it off again.
Yeah.
I wear my smartwatch. My Apple Watch, like everyone else has got. It's so good.
Well, no, you don't. I got Garmin.
But do you have to charge yours every night?
No.
I do it every four days.
Actually, I've got a smart one on today. I've got a Tissot. So thank you, Lewis. From Tissot.
Oh, Lewis, yeah. He's a great bloke.
Yeah.
He actually is a great
bloke. Still wearing it, mate.
When I get back into real life, I think I will more, but smartwatch during lockdown was good because it counted your steps.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not at any corporate dues at the moment where, you know, you've got to wear a short sleeve shirt because either you've got tattoos or an expensive watch.
Yeah, my problem is that, some of my watches are so big that my cuffs can't get over them.
Mm. That's what you want, though, isn't it?
Well, it is and it isn't, because you do... I don't massively... Not bothered if someone thinks, wow, he's cool, he's got a nice watch, or wow, he's a knob. I don't care about that.
Yeah. You just like watches. There's nothing wrong with that.
I just like them, but I just have stopped... I've stopped wearing them at the moment. Anyway.
And also, they hold their value really well, apparently, so...
Yeah, exactly. I might flog them and buy a listed building. What have you been up to, fella? Now, you were going off a tangent then.
I wasn't. You're talking about, I know how you like to take apart TV dramas, series, anything like that.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, you couldn't believe some of the stuff that went on there, could you?
Not even a true story.
Ginger Kid had two mates. That's a joke, all right, guys? Proper joke. And it's coming from me as well, you know.
King of.
Yeah. Laugh with them, not at them. Time.
So the TV shows.
Have you finished Time?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Have you ever done a bit of Bird yourself?
Can't say.
I'd imagine that was a very good example of maybe what prison life is like.
Bet them
porridge anyway. All right.
Yeah.
Probably a better example of what prison's like over
Yeah,
porridge.
Exactly. It. Yeah. I can't say too much, Tommy, but my dad has got quite a lot of experience of the inside of prisons.
Or Tanker and Cash.
My dad's been inside a lot of prisons in his life.
Yeah.
And
I know.
From what I understand, it was very, very close to what he's seen a lot over time. And I think prisons have improved hugely in a lot of areas from... 20, 30, 40 years ago, but in some ways they're just as wild.
When we spoke last week, you'd watched the first episode. You finished it. Did you enjoy?
I absolutely loved it. I thought it's heartbreaking and it's brutal, but it's just unbelievably good.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's just unbelievably good. It's just amazing television with amazing actors.
Unbelievably well
written. All of them are brilliant. Oh, Sean Bean and... Stephen Graham, obviously amazing, but like the lady, was she a priest or what is she? She's brilliant.
She's been a detective in something, I can't remember what.
She's in loads of stuff, but she's class as well.
Even all the prisoners are brilliant and really well cast as well. But it's one of those series that the BBC really haven't been shouting about it. It's just sort of come on, there's three episodes, and I hope it wins awards.
It will. It has to. It's so good.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
Okay, what have you been up to, boy?
Not a great deal. Played a little bit of golf last week. When I say a little bit, had a round. And just been working, mate. In Gennaro HQ. Went to the Scarlets Edinburgh game yesterday. Parker Scarlets. Don't ask Mark Durden-Smith to say that. And it was... beautiful day. absolutely scorchio. We're in the shade, brilliant. Pre-game, comms in the shade, brilliant. Post-game, in the sun,
no.
OMG, wow.
Yeah.
And blue I was shirt? Sort of,
oh, you had a blue you shirt. You don't sweat, do you?
I just kept my arms close to my rib cage. Yeah. It's like Steven Seagal talking. Yeah. But, you know, during the game, I was saying, like I was talking about tempo, you know, just such a slow walk to line outs, lots of drinks breaks, lots of injuries. Well, injuries led to drinks breaks. And, you know, sometimes you want a quick game and I'm sort of saying, well, you know, it's just slowing the game down. And part of rugby is, you know, you want to tire opposition out, especially if you're on the attack and they're having to defend and get up and blah, blah. But then when I actually got into the sun, I thought, ooh, yeah, this is the reason. It was boiling and crowds were back as well. They had around 1,000 people in Parker Scarlet. So a sellout. Well done.
And a lot of burnt people considering it's sunny and it's Wales. So 950 of those will have been ginger.
So good to get fans back there, boy.
Yeah, it makes a massive difference. Did you find it even that few? I find it so loud still when you're trying to commentate and stuff. I'm not used to it.
Yeah, but it's also quite nice that the subs, the bench, the coaches can't hear you when you commentate now.
Oh, mate, we'll talk about that in a minute. Mate, it's... Yeah, exactly.
Because you've got earphones on. You don't know how loud your voice is. And obviously, you've got to get excited. You know, you can't be doing commentary like this. You know, people are just going to turn off and say, oh, these two boring blokes.
Yeah.
No charisma. So, you've got to colour your voice a bit, haven't you? And get excited for tries.
Yeah, you've got to really ramp it up.
Yes.
Hear me now. It's the best try I've ever seen.
It's a slow ride. It's a fast ride. If you fall off, it's your last ride. But when you do that, you...
Are you ready to party?
You've got no idea how loud you're being, and I reckon everyone can hear you.
Yeah. Mate, when you the best of all...
Maybe that's why I got their mates.
You're in a stadium with Lawrence Dallaglio, and he's commentating. Even when there's 20,000 in there, everyone in the stand can hear him.
Yeah.
Boom, have some of that. Yeah. He's not worried about it, mate.
Of course it is. Yeah.
He's not worried
he's
about it.
He's still got a job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that's the end of the league now until the final, which is next week in Treviso. And it is Benetton who finished top, mostly by luck more than anything.
Yeah, how's that happened, mate?
Well,
come on.
They didn't win a game in 15 attempts in the Pro 14. But because South Africans couldn't travel for this Rainbow Cup, fixtures had to be readjusted. There had to be a lot of derbies first. So... they ended up playing Zebre twice, which they won. Then they had Glasgow. Oh, they had Glasgow as well at the start, which they won at home in Italy. Then they had Connacht in Italy, which they won. So, and they were pretty strong teams. So, fair play to them for doing that. And then the last game against Ospreys, which was going to be away in Wales for them. Ospreys had a few COVID cases. So they won the game with 4 points. And they finished top. They're flying the flag for the Northern Hemisphere. They're playing against the Bulls. Bulls won 5 from 6, I think. But the Bulls won't travel without... sorry, will travel without their Lion Stars.
Oh, right.
So,
yeah,
anything can happen. Especially like in Italy. You know, like loads of teams have gone over to Italy and won the Pro 14, but not been hammered. If that makes sense. You know, they've been close games. They just got on the wrong side of the scoreboard. Just slightly. But that's next weekend, which I'm not doing.
Why not?
I didn't want to travel. Couldn't risk it.
Yeah, you can't.
Too high risk.
Yeah. Got family to think of, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's been my weekend, really, mate. Bit on the barbie, a few burgers.
Oh,
what else? I have a few chicken wings. Some lovely ones for Field and Flower. Oh, that's delicious.
Yeah, I had some last week. They're mega, aren't they?
They're good.
Kids love them too.
They're good.
All right, kids. Get all your... Basically, when we have wings, everyone has to... The rule is everyone sits in their pants. Because just whatever you're wearing gets ruined, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Peri-peri wings.
How do your parents react to that?
Yeah, neighbours. Yeah, it's odd when we're sitting in the garden. But yeah, they're fine with that. Everyone's fine.
The
cleaners find it a bit odd.
I imagine you had a busy weekend because... with Channel 5, and also you have Dick Van Dyke yesterday, weren't you? Well,
what's that?
One man band. Did everything, didn't you?
I was ref yesterday. Well, it's, do you know what? It's one of them, innit? So it's quite...
You're like, yeah, sort of like Andrew McKenna, you were.
Yeah.
Just doing everything. Doing it
it's
all.
Macca. Yeah, it's been a, like, yeah, quite busy. It's gone, it feels like it's gone from 0 to 100 really quick.
Did you set up all the sound boards as well? Yeah.
Do sound I've checks? Got my HGV license to drive the truck in, the OB truck. So it took me 3 years to get my HGV. Now it's good. So like last Wednesday, I did this, I did a thing with Shane Williams and Ottolenghi's executive chef, which was really, really cool. Calvin von Niebel, he's called. And we did this cook-along for all the Lions commercial partners. It was actually really good fun. 1 hour done, quite easy to cook, but really cool South African food and all that stuff. So that was really cool. But then it's like, right, you know, like I'm used to doing not very much because of lockdown or whatever and COVID. And it's like, right, got to get from there. That finishes at 1. But at 12:30, a Land Rover shoot starts with Lawrence and Drico and Jason Fox, Foxy, Black Ops, SAS. So half an hour after that starts, I'm in Bermondsey and that is in Guildford. So I'm like, right, flat straight in the car, cross London. And then I went out for dinner with my mum and dad to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. We went to Whatley Manor, which is in the Cotswold, and it was unbelievable. Like the food was, mum and dad stayed there as, you know, for their little celebration. Yeah. We went for the weekend. Tasting menu there. Yeah, exactly. At their age, maybe not by now. But unbelievable place. Like the food was just immense. So I'll be going back to Whatley Manor at some point when I got time, which I have, but I'm just not going yet. So that's a busy old day because that's kind of East London for a 9 a.m. start, back to Guildford, back to Cotswolds, home. And then it's a real early start then the next day to get to Cheltenham and a full day shooting with Land Rover, and which was cool. Lawrence and Brian are there again, and Jason Robinson was there, but Gavin Hastings was there, and he made me think of you because, as far as I can ascertain, he plays about 6 rounds of golf a week.
I'm 1 a week, mate. I'm nowhere near that.
No, I'm saying
that's the level I want to get to.
He's living your dream life, I think.
That's the level I want.
Yeah, I mean, he plays off 2. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I think his son Adam just spots him a bit of cash. Basically keeps him afloat, so he doesn't have to work or do anything. I think his son supports him.
Is that right? Yeah, good. Yeah, he sponsors him, yeah. So yeah, that's kind of... Friday was a long old day of shooting, and then I did a Zoom with Doddy Weir for Vodafone, and kind of quite a late night. But then Saturday, we're up to the Rico for round 22, and that's a funny one because all the games kick off at 3 o'clock. 2 games were being because of COVID.
Funny?
Which fun? It's a funny one because funny, interesting, not ha-ha, because it's you can't, you know, we sit in the media room, we've got all the games on 4 different screens on the go with all 4 games on, and no matter how hard you try and how many notes you take, you cannot watch 4 games at once.
No.
And then you've got to do a post-match interview with a winning player for the highlight show on the pitch at the Rico, so you have to go out there for full time. And the other games, one of the games still had 10 minutes left or something, and it's key time. So you're like, right, we're having to leave this game now. So then you've got to basically pause that, live pause that, go and do your stuff, come back in, finish the game, do all your links and all that. And moving around isn't so easy because of COVID. So it ends up being quite a stress on the day, but it worked out all right. And then... Yeah, yesterday I was at Ealing against Sarries for the first leg of the Championship playoff final, and it was Brian O'Driscoll and Craig Doyle have got their own production company called Three Rock, and this was their first live OB, basically their first live game. They produced it, they got everyone in, the producers, the trucks, the sound people, the tech, everything, and we just thought Craig and Brian thought they would try something new, and it's been a long conversation, we've been talking about this for a long time, and... it was let's try something where we don't do the standard format. So I did the presentation of the show, which is what Craig Doyle normally does. I've never done that before in a live show, but really enjoyed it. And it was just me and Topsy. And I said to Topsy, lots of long answers, please, fella. And he delivered. So I did all the sort of presentation before the match. And then LJ was down pitch side, and she was actually... Because she's a lot of things, LJ. She can kind of do it all with one woman band, but she's also quite punchy, so she will walk up to coaches and players on the touchline and she'll say, right, what happened there? What are you telling me about that? And she gets these nuggets that I think a lot of us, like ex-players, might be a little bit like, oh, you can't approach the lads when they've just come off, or you can't ask the coach when they're 40-0 down, what's that sub about? She's just bowled straight up, and that is quite handy. So basically, we did the pre-match presentation, sort of 30 minutes pre-match, and then literally turned around, swapped our earpiece for headphones, swapped mics, then I did the league comms, and Topsy was co-com, and then we do half-time, more comms, you know, full-time. So it was quite an involved day, but I think it went pretty well. I did call Brian O'Driscoll Brian Madriscoll at some point.
Yeah.
At one point. Brian McDriscoll, I called him. Brian McDriscoll, I called him. Yeah,
Did you have to mention his name, did you?
Well, no, because he was doing it. He did an interview that we had. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
Brian O'Driscoll in every show. But he did an interview with Mark McCall that was actually a class interview. But yeah, so busy old time, and got back last night. And it's one of those, isn't it? I was like happy and pumped, but like deliriously tired. But I was actually quite, when I got there, I wasn't nervous, but I was actually quite nervous about Sunday, quite nervous about having to do everything I hadn't done before. I know, but I didn't sweat.
Do not?
I only did one link in the sun, and I did sweat then. Topsy and I were both beading then, but then we were actually in the gantry, which was in the shade and had a breeze cutting through it. It was really nice.
How many times did you use the phrase David and Goliath?
Twice.
Oh, that's okay.
No, once, because do you know what I deferred to? I deferred to Balboa Drago, Rocky Balboa against Ivan Drago.
Good. That's good.
Better, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very good.
Thought you'd like that.
That's very good.
Thought you'd like that. Anyway, that's it. And then I'm off. It's Monday where we are, and I'm off to Jersey tomorrow morning.
Oh, going to do stuff with the Lions, are you?
Going to do a Lions dinner with I'm quite surprised, because there's a big Lions dinner in Jersey.
Yeah.
And we've got four coaches, including Gatland obviously, and we've got four players including Alan Wynne-Jones. I'm surprised they're allowed to come to dinners and do that stuff. I'm glad they are, but I thought they wouldn't be allowed anywhere.
Yeah.
But there's eight of them coming to this dinner.
Yeah. All right.
And I'm staying an extra night afterwards. What?
Gonna sort out your tax, are you?
Well, I know. Yeah, I know. I know a few people over there, don't I? Including Rob Webber, actually. Hooker, he's over there.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, Matt, yeah. I saw him all on social media going over there. Must be a lovely place to go train. I think.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why is that it's very easy to control COVID-19 over there, isn't it? It's like a little separate.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But yeah,
they'll all be PCR tested. I'm glad they're doing some sort of not corporate work, but they're out and about, because I think when they head over eventually to South Africa, they will be strictly in their bubble.
I think you might be right. Yeah. But it'll be nice. And then the night after, I'm catching up with Matt Banahan's brother and his parents. I've obviously known for a long time for a pint, and I've got another couple of mates over there, and it'd be quite nice actually.
Oh, lovely.
Why not?
Bit of me head. You deserve it. Well, done.
Well, I am working the day after as well, but it's virtual, so
it's not Christ's work, is it?
I've actually got to stay because I missed the flight because the other thing I'm doing, but I'm acting as if I'm doing it just for some good times.
Okay, I was trying to round up this link, but you keep going now.
Sorry, here we go.
Okay, right, break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So what game were you at the weekend? Wasps Leicester. Oh.
Yeah. Hell of a game,
mate. Another great weekend of rugby.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Weather, crowds, pitches are firm. Pitches look brilliant, don't they? They look like cricket wickets, but...
Let's not mention cricket. Can I ask you a question, please?
Yeah.
My dad said something the other night. I'm open-minded, but I've always been pro-relegation, promotion-relegation, because I think it adds drama, right? And I think it's just fair.
Yeah.
But my dad said something the other day. So can I ask... My dad never asked me rugby questions because he knows it gets a bit dull. But he said, I want to ask you a rugby question, and only one. Why is it this season that there are so many high-scoring games and it's just brilliant to watch? I'm watching more rugby than I've ever watched because there are so many tries. It's exactly what he said. He's undermining my whole theory.
Do you think it's because there is no relegation? This is your point, yeah?
Yeah, I'm wondering what you think.
No, I don't think so. I mean, Worcester, well, they've won one game. You know, Gloucester 7, Newcastle 8. I don't think so. I just think, I think weather plays a huge part. I think mindset as well of teams, and you know the good teams are the ones we're seeing, say from top 7, top 8. You know, they just back themselves to score more tries than they're going to leak. And I think that's just a mindset they have. You know, they're not going out to strangle teams. They're not going out to wear teams down. I think they're just going out to play positive rugby. You know, like you look at all the way down to London Irish. They were like ninth, I think. Yeah, they're just playing quality rugby. London Irish at the moment are just on the wrong side of those victories. You know, how many games have they played this year where teams have scored against them in the last minute? But no, I don't think it is to do with that at all.
Okay, good.
I can't see how it would be because Bristol, Exeter, Sale, Quinns, Northampton, Leicester, Bath, Wasps, there's no chance they're going down. So I don't know. I think it's a mixture now of coming out of COVID. I think players probably be far more positive about what's coming up. There's also tours. There's also Lions tours. You know, I know these squads have been announced, but they've only been announced recently. And it's a big thing is keeping your form to those announcements.
Yeah.
And firm pitches makes such a difference. Firm, dry pitches make a difference to how you play because all of a sudden the ball is fizzed round, there's less mistakes. You can play a faster, more attacking game. And it's been brilliant. I reckon the last month or so of rugby, can't fault it at all.
It's been great, isn't it? Mm. It's like almost like whatever game you tune into. And like a big game gets cancelled and it's like, well, that's rubbish, but actually this will be great, this will be great, yeah.
We're sort of looking a bit like Super Rugby, the way... We're playing it now in the Northern Hemisphere. You know, it's that fast, quick game. And I suppose that's the level you want to go for because, you know, New Zealand has set the benchmark, really, don't they?
Yeah.
Maybe not so much with Australia at the moment, but certainly South Africa. Well, I say that, South Africa, that most of them are playing overseas anyway, aren't they?
Yeah.
But anyway, the Wasps-Leicester game was a great game. Really good win for Leicester. I'd love Matt Scott's try. How good was that angle?
Bloody brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He looks like hard work to me.
Yeah.
Like powerful. He don't muck about in the tackle either. Like every contact is aggressive. Every line is aggressive.
I think he's one of those that is a lot stronger than he looks. Because, he doesn't look like a Tuilagi or, you know, a powerhouse, does he? But I think he can run like one. Villanu, number 8.
Yeah.
I thought it was Trevor Liotta for a minute playing.
I know. I watch him and I think you're going to run out of gas at some point because he just puts so much power into everything, but he does keep going, fair play.
His second try, when he breaks through the line, I'm not sure who's coming across from Leicester. I think it's the left wing. No interest in tackling. It wasn't even a massive step. He changes direction, but it's not like a Anthony Watson step or a Jack Knowles step, is it?
DFS won it 2 years, no interest.
Did not want it at all. But
It was... It was actually a big game. It was it was a pretty impressive game when you were nearby and you realised how bloody hot it was and how hard those boys were going. Ellis Gaines dropping back to take the field, the long kicks, quite enjoy that. It was good fun actually.
Bath-Northampton.
That was an error-strewn game, but Bath basically could have scored four more tries, but knocked it on, dropped it, didn't ground it a few times. Anthony Watson dropped it over the line, but not like a Freddie Burns, Charles Pietau one, but actually just slipped out of his hands, sweaty ball. But I watched it and thought, like, Hutchinson played really well.
How's he not in the Scotland squad?
I know, they got some good
centers. I had to double check. I thought, he's got to be in, because he's been playing really well.
I think that, yeah. I mean, there are some people
going around Naira Voro for a try.
Yeah, but Naira Voro making yards there, like, I've thought about Naira Voro for a long time. I'll duck when I see him in case he hears I've said this, but he's a really, really important weapon for Northampton. He really is, because he's quick and he's massive.
Yeah.
But I've often thought that he doesn't actually run that hard. And I've often thought he goes to ground a bit too easily. Like, for someone that big, if he was just super aggressive and I was like, either you're going to tackle me, you're going to have to kill me sort of thing. Like, if he ran like Tim Arda-Harrison ran, he'd be a global superstar because of his genetics. But he doesn't, I don't think. And he's got long strides, so that can make someone look more lollipy. But there are times when I think, oh, you could have done more damage there. But he sort of waltzes into the 10-12 channel and makes just tons of yards through the middle of those two for Bath, and then just flips the ball away to Hutchinson. Lovely try, but you're like, he needs hit in there. Like, if someone runs into Dan Bigger, he might not knock him backwards, but they won't just
make
give easy yards
won't
through.
He?
Yeah, and I was like, that is too easy. Like, I was watching it with the producers and with Durders and the cameraman and stuff on a screen, and I was like, and straight away one of them said, that is too easy, that's soft. And I thought, yeah, it is actually. And being tough about it, that's what loses your games, as well as dropping the ball over the line, which is just an accident. But
yeah, well, do you see when Bayliss was pulling away at the end? You had three backs.
Oh, my days.
You had three backs. Naira Voro was one of them, I think.
How quick?
I can't remember who else it was. But, I mean, the game was won, really, already. You know, they were 1 point up before he went through. So it's going to be a tough ask to pull that back. But there didn't seem much urgency there, and he was just striding away.
I think he is genuinely quick, though.
Yeah.
I think he's back quick.
Could be like Piers Spies.
Yeah, exactly. Like, off the mark, he might not be as quick as some wingers, but...
Yeah, when he gets into his stride. Oh,
yeah. Wow. Wasn't that impressive. I couldn't believe it. it was mega.
Watson looked good as well for parts, especially that little half break with the Fenn
for the Faletau try.
He just gives it the right minute as well, because if he gives that too early, you know, you're thinking that Northampton are going to push off, be able to take him, but he delivers the pass, you know, late, and he's already done a job on the two defenders there, so it's quality.
He's the man.
But certain players can do this, so they hand off and they accelerate at the same time.
Yeah,
it's a proper skill.
Yeah, agreed. Very impressive. So that, you know, nice day for Bath, and one at home, fans back in. The first time they've had fans at the Rec. But you know, it's always nice to win in the sun and have a couple and all that. But it's more like qualify for Europe, which they're chuffed with. This is nothing to do with Bath, but it's those teams in sort of 6th, 7th, 8th, those sorts of teams. I often think you're professionals and you're competitive, so you want to achieve things. You don't want to miss out on things. I know that, but just zooming out and being objective about it, I often think that the European Champions Cup is the worst thing that could happen to some of these clubs, because the extra games they're going to have to play, can't rest players, can't rotate, and you know, we don't need to go back a couple of years to Sarri's and whatever, but lots of people will always now question their Premiership titles, and the European titles, it's like, yeah, well, the French clubs have got massive wage caps and all this stuff, so they're competing on level playing field. It's like, yeah, but they are able to fight on two fronts because they had so many players that they could effectively rotate guys and rest guys. So it's almost like the stuff they weren't allowed to do in the Premiership that they were doing allowed them to be more competitive in Europe. So I think if you remove those players that weren't there, for want of a better expression, sort of legally in terms of salary cap, if you remove those players, those players are arriving considerably more beaten up for European games, and more likely you're going to have some of them injured because they haven't had enough, as much rest. So they probably wouldn't have competed as well in Europe if they'd played by the rules in England, if you know what I mean. So I kind of, I often think that you kind of, you almost need, Chiefs have done it, but I you know, most of these clubs, I think Europe beats them up so hard that it actually does them more harm than good.
Yeah, maybe, but it's also commercial revenue driven as well, isn't it?
By the tickets, games. Yeah, of course it is. You know, yeah,
it's good to be able to change the league as well, to play against French teams and Welsh teams and maybe Italian teams, so Irish teams. So it's having that variety as well. People want to see that. You know, as good as the league is, the Gallagher, and it's really good at the moment, it's flying. You still want to see cross-border competition, don't you?
Yep, you want to see it, and it's good for fans and all that. Yeah. I'm just thinking purely from a playing roster point of view and league position point of view, like Newcastle finished top four, got into the Champions Cup, got relegated the next year. That's an extreme example, but they just got smashed to pieces because their squad wasn't big enough and good enough.
Yeah, which is, so it is all about squads, strength and depth, and that's where you look at the Giants, like you've been saying, who've won Europe. The squad and the pool of players they've got to pick from is absolutely massive, but you need a massive squad or you need a fit squad. You know,
you've got to stay fit. Chiefs, and you look at Chiefs, they've got a lot of star players, but they haven't signed many star players. It looks like they actually coach and they coach their players to that level.
Yeah, they bring them through the academy systems.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Said and done, mind.
So the semi-finals this weekend, you've got Bristol Quins.
Yeah,
sure, it's just going to be if Bristol win that.
Well, I think pretty much the whole thing that even, you know, the Quins players have said it. Alex Dombrandt said it to us last week. We will not win anything if we defend like that.
Yeah,
and if they defend anything like they've defended for the second half of this season against Bristol, no team in the league has got more weapons to exploit that, so they will lose comfortably if they defend how they've been defending, simple as that.
Sale showed the way against Bristol a couple of weeks ago, didn't they? You know, it was a brilliant game and Sale defended unbelievably well, and eventually Bristol ran out of ideas. Sale won. We didn't really see that one coming. So I agree with you there. Bristol win. Exeter Sale. So we had round one. Yesterday or the day before.
Brutal.
Yeah. Mate, every game that Sale plays is a brutal game because they're just a physical team. Is there a more physical team in the Premiership than
Sale? Nope. I reckon they're the worst team to play against now.
Yeah.
And it's no coincidence that Alex Arnason's the boss of the worst team to play against, because people love Al because he's a successful coach. He's bright. He's a laugh. He says original things in interviews. And I love all that. And that's exactly what he's like. Mm. What people don't know about him, because he retired so long ago because he got injured young.
Yeah.
But I played with Al for years and against him for years. What people don't know is the bloke is a flat out animal. He's not nicey-nicey. Like, he's lovely to his mates and his colleagues and he's lovely to people. But when it comes to competing, like, he was a maniac, mate, like full-on, unbelievably hard bloke. Like, I would say the hardest bloke, as hard as the hardest bloke I ever played with. Like, absolute savage bloke from the age of 16, 17, he was the same. And, you know, we played against Wales schools and we were all like, we were a good team and we won the games and all that, but they were proper hard, rough boys, some of those Welsh boys. Mm. And Al Sanderson was smacking them for fun, mate. He was like, he was the hardest bloke on that field even then. And we were like, whoa, he is different. He's like a 25-year-old nightclub bouncer playing under 18s. You know, like, so I think there's no surprise they play like that because, you know, if you don't want to let Al down, and then he will bring that out of people, I think.
Well, I think Bristol will win whatever the conditions. I'm saying that because there is rain expected, I think, this weekend. Whilst Exeter Sale, look, I think if the weather's wet, I'll be back in Sale. I think if it's a beautiful day, I'll go with Exeter just because of the tempo they play, the skills they've got, low error count, really able to target teams sort of second and third phase with phase plays. Maybe not off set piece, but certainly creating space.
Well, one thing, third, boy, or fourth phase, but AJ McGinty, who's been amazing, in amazing form, got injured in the last minute and got stretched off his knee. Yep.
Ooh.
I reckon. I mean, we don't know yet.
So Dupree in at 10?
Yeah, and he's a good player, but he's not the same.
No, he's not. I think he's a better 12 than a 10.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. Play, yeah.
But then, you know, you got Manu there. Is Manu all right? He went off?
He's fine.
Okay.
But he's then, fine, we're told. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, AJ McGinty really runs the game well. But I'd say Dupree is can do it, but he's much better at 12 utilised because he's big, he's strong, but possibly doesn't have maybe the vision that McGinty has.
Yeah, and then you start looking at squads and you think, well, if Bristol lose Callum Sheedy, that's tough, but look at the players they've got to step in.
Johan Lloyd.
What? Yeah, exactly. And you look at Chiefs and think, well, if they lose Joe Simmons, that is a bit of a knock. But you can, they're kind of, for me, they're only really, there are two players, maybe three if you include Slade, in that Sale team, Chiefs team, that you can't really, Dave Ewers is indispensable. I think Stuart Hogg is actually in such good form, he might be as well. But most of those players, you can just slot someone else in.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't make a huge amount of difference.
Which Ian Whitten fills that role quite often, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I think you lose AJ McGinty and it's like Quinn's losing Marcus Smith, really. He's played every minute recently and I feel like it might be too big up. So I reckon Bristol Chiefs final.
Yeah, yeah. All right, mate, I'll go with that. I'll go with that. Well, I think that might do us. Really sad news, actually, we have to touch upon Jack Adams.
Oh, mate.
I know.
That broke me this morning, that did.
Yeah, there's plenty of... We'll retweet some Just Given pages for those that want to help donate.
You just got to think, apart from anything else, you know, he's got a wife and three children who only found out, you know, weeks ago that this was happening and now he's gone. Mm. And what do you do? What do you do if, you know, what does your family do if you just suddenly disappear?
Yeah, I know.
You know, what do you do for money? Apart emotionally is the worst thing. What do you do about admin? What do you do about your mortgage? What do you do about your whole life, the way you've always lived it? It's just
incredible. Incredible. He passed. You know,
it's just horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So quickly
as
well.
Horrible. Yeah. So I'm sure that
all of
you lot at home or in your car or on the tube, and Shanks and I, we will all do everything. If there's anything we can do, we'll do it to help his family. So incredibly sad. Yeah.
Yep. All right, mate. Well.
All right, boy. Well done.
You take care, and I'll speak to you next week.
See you, lad. Keep going. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.